Well, we've been going through some sermons. We've been going through God's law. We've been actually digging into the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. We've been looking into the Scriptures. What is old in the Old Covenant? And paralleling that to the New Covenant. And through that process, we're seeing that we're reaffirming that God's law is not done away. It's still in existence. Last week, we let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, see where we're going today. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. We're seeing here the writer is making, is talking about the old covenant or the first covenant. Just because it's called, we look at it and we call it old covenant. That doesn't mean it's old and done away. It was the first covenant. And the terminology from that first covenant to the new covenant was inspired by Jeremiah. We talked about that last week where he termed that wording inspired by God. But last week we talked about in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, but now he obtained, talking about Jesus Christ, he obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is also mediator. So we discussed that, the more excellent ministry, paralleling that with the Levitical priesthood to now, which was done through the Levites, Aaron and his sons, to Jesus Christ, the new covenant. The lineage through Abraham, David, through tribe of Judah, and how we paralleled that, why it's better, a more excellent ministry. Today we're going to continue with, he was a more excellent ministry, he was obtained. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant. So, which was established on better promises. So we talked about we're continuing to talk about the better covenant. And today we want to talk about the better promises. So I've titled the message, Better Promises. And we want to go through what these better promises are. But before we do, I want to turn to verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 8, because we're going to see that the law is not done away with. We're going to look at that and one other area in the Scriptures. But here, as we went through this Scripture last week, Hebrews 8, verse 1, now this is the main point. This is the main point that we were talking about last week of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest, who's Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. So this was, he is God. He was erected by God, not made by physical hands, the physical temple, and we drop down to verse 13, and it says that a new covenant he will have made the first obsolete. So he's saying that at this particular writing we talked about was in probably AD mid-60s, 64, and that's about the time Paul also died. So give or take. But it says he was made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete? It's becoming obsolete. It wasn't obsolete until 70 AD when the temple was destroyed. The animal sacrifices, the Levitical priesthood was still in motion until that temple was destroyed. It didn't end in 31 AD. It didn't stop being practiced. It says it's growing old and is ready to vanish away. And that's what we discussed last week. So today we want to talk about the better promises. So what are these better promises? You know, there are promises in the first covenant. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 23. What are these better promises? What, and by going to the better promises, let's look at what kind of promises were in the first covenant. Exodus chapter, starting 23. Chapter 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before you, God says, to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies. So, I'll be an enemy to your enemies. In other words, you'll destroy them. And an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and to the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I will cut them off. So what we're seeing here are physical blessings. You obey me, I'm going to help you. You hear my word and put it into practice, I'm going to protect you. But I do not want you to bow down to their gods, verse 24, nor serve them, nor do according to their ways, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. So I also want you to do things. Not just obey me, but I want you to go in and follow my instruction. And then you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless, what? Your bread. So you have food and your water. And I will take away sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days, give you long life. These are all physical blessings. And you could go on and read more. You could also go on and read Leviticus chapter 26, the blessings and cursings chapter. God says, I'll bless you if you obey me. And he talks about all these physical blessings. Physical blessings. You know, those physical blessings are great promises. There's no doubt about it. But the new covenant has better promises. It doesn't take away the physical promises. The new covenant adds to those physical promises, because there are still physical promises that God gives us, as we'll look at here in just a little bit. But again, Jesus Christ is the mediator of a better covenant. Let's go over to Ezekiel. We'll start in Ezekiel chapter 37. We talked about last week that the problem wasn't with God's covenant. The problem was with the people. So in Ezekiel chapter 37, I have 3 points today, and in regard to what are better blessings, better promises, not better blessings, there are also better blessings, but as we read the words from Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, in regards to better promises, I have 3 points that we can look at that are different under the new covenant. Okay, we're just going to look at those three. There's more to it than that, but these are the three that I've picked that highlight and you can build upon. But number one is spiritual blessings through God's Holy Spirit that was not offered in the first covenant, except to a slight number of people. But here in Ezekiel chapter 37, it talks about the dry bones, talks about the second resurrection, when people are resurrected to learn to know God. And what does it say here in verse 14, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 14? It says, I will put my spirit in you, after he's resurrected them, gives them life. Then he says, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So he establishes a better covenant with them by giving them the Holy Spirit, which is made possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's made possible because the new covenant is under the more excellent ministry, Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit, God's people will be able to learn and obey his words. They'll be able to put it into practice. Holy Spirit will guide them, lead them, and help them through repentance when they fall short. And they have Jesus Christ as their mediator. Remember, we can go before Jesus Christ. Go before him in our weaknesses. Ask him to help us in our weaknesses. Ask him to help with our needs, a need to be obedient to him, to change, to overcome. Yeah, so that could not be done in the first covenant. God's Holy Spirit wasn't offered to the people, because the Holy Spirit will help lead people to understand and to know his truth, which we have come to learn ourselves. Israel will still be a physical nation, as well as the other people who are resurrected during that time. And they will enjoy physical blessings and better promises. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 8. They will enjoy physical blessings and also better promises. Let's look at that in Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 10, we'll read verses 10 through 12. Hebrews chapter 8. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord. And what is he going to do? We just read, put his Holy Spirit. I will put my laws in their mind. I won't have to be reminded by wearing tassels. And write them in their hearts. The Holy Spirit will come into you. You'll be able to internalize my law continually. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest. So this is a covenant he's going to add to it. Yeah, I'm still going to give you the physical blessings. We see that in Scripture. You know, you come before God in the millennium and you want to obey him, well, he gives you rain in due season. You know, there's a lot there. A lot of things that God will allow to happen and put into place, curses, if you're not obeying him. But here we see that his Holy Spirit is added. Point number two, in regards to better promises. There will be better understanding through God's Holy Spirit. You know, when we came into the church and God's Holy Spirit was working with us, and I think we look back once we've committed to God and buried the old man, woman, and striving to change who we are through the help of God's Holy Spirit as he leads us, he shows us where we're missing the mark. We have a better understanding as we obey God. We've experienced that. So that's a better promise. They did not have that in the first covenant. People will learn of God's ways. They will be blessed by keeping the law. And they will see that his law is not done away with, that his law has always existed from the beginning. Since we're in Hebrews, let's read, starting in verse 7. We're chapter 8 again. They'll see that his law is not done away. Yeah, there's sacrificial practices, different things that God added along the way that pointed to Jesus Christ to try to get people to see, to know that they were sinners. But that is no longer practiced because Jesus Christ is now the mediator of the New Testament. Through him, we walk with him. And he shows us the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But we see here that his law is not done away with. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7, this is not the only place. But it says here, the writer says, but for if that first covenant had been faultless, the one that was made at Mount Sinai, ratified in blood, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, it wasn't fault with the first covenant. It says with them is talking about the people. Look that up in the Greek. It's the fault with the people. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. They weren't able to continue in obedience to God. And as we continue on with the other things that what the new covenant offers, we're going to see the nature of human beings, that without God's Holy Spirit, they go astray. Just as you saw in Scripture, yet Judah, Israel, God warned them. He warned them to be obedient to him. And eventually he told them, your cities are going to be laid waste. You're going to go into captivity and you're going to die. And that's what happened. And that's what will happen again. That's what will happen again. And we come to learn that it's only through that, they go through all of that, is when God says, now you'll be able to see that you need to obey me. They have to go through all that. Brethren, we don't have to go through all that. We've been called to come out of it. We should be thinking about this, that these are better promises. We see that in Scripture that it was difficult for them to have relationships. They could not have a relationship one-on-one with God. You know, the Sinai Covenant, Aaron went into the Holies of Holies once a year to be able to pray on behalf of the people after he cleansed himself with blood, and then with the blood of the animals to cleanse the people once a year for their sins they've done in ignorance. But now, through the better promises that we have a relationship with God, that we can go before him daily, anytime, as we continue to put the gift of repentance into our lives and allow God's promise to work in us. Those who disobey the law will have problems that lead to death. We're going to talk more about that in another message. But we see that when you obey God, when you say, okay, I'm not going to commit adultery, what happens? Well, that would lead to better marriages, right? Better marriages would be, we want children, because God instructs us to have godly offspring. If we want children, that would eliminate abortions, right? If we had godly marriages, we wouldn't have venereal diseases. Just, you know. Now, that is the, what, seventh commandment? Thou shalt commit adultery? I'm trying to remember off my head. But listening to Christianity today, they believe that we shouldn't commit adultery. I mean, they believe that love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and as your neighbor as yourself. And they believe in changing your nature. They believe that the Ten Commandments are all done away with, but by observing the two great commandments, show that we are keeping nine of the commandments. The fourth commandment's done away. We have to keep the Sabbath. But doesn't that sort of odd that, okay, we're not to commit adultery, but they still allow it? It's still allowed. They could stop a lot of issues and problems if they just really practice that. God's Holy Spirit gives us better understanding. The world doesn't understand. They scratch their head. All illnesses can be eliminated. You just go back to what we read in Leviticus. Go back and read we read in Exodus chapter 23. You can also read the blessings and cursings. Just by obeying God, there are blessings. Better knowledge of God will spread from the least to the greatest when God's Holy Spirit is given to an individual. And that will happen in the future under the new covenant. We have that now. Number three, what else is better under the new covenant? Is eternal life. Eternal life is offered under the new covenant. Eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let's turn over, we're in Hebrews right now. Hebrews 9, verse 15. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant. That's Jesus Christ. We can go before him. Have a relationship with God. Have a relationship with one another. By means of death. Because he humbled himself. He suffered. And he died for us. For the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, now that those who are under the first covenant, through him, they can receive eternal life. That's a better promise. It's a better promise. So let's also turn over to 1 Peter. That's a better promise compared to a physical inheritance, of receiving physical blessings only. 1 Peter confirms this. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 3. Blessed be the Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, it's his mercy, it's his plan, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without that resurrection, without the Father resurrecting him to life, we wouldn't be able to have eternal life, be under the new covenant, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We understand that faith is a gift in Ephesians chapter 2. It's a gift from God, and we are to put it into practice. It also says here, just sidebar, it says, in this, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. We rejoice in this. for a little while, because our physical life only lasts but for a short time. Now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So sometimes we go through trials. We have many of the body, members of the body, that are going through trials, some life-threatening trials. But we should be growing through God's Holy Spirit to bring him glory by doing his will. We learn. You know, sometimes we go through things and, you know, Mr. Babb's been very open. He says, you know, I'm learning, I'm growing, you know, what I'm going through. And I know we all do, and we all should be doing that. Learning where we can, how we can better be a better tool in God's hands. So it's an inheritance that does not fade away. It's eternal. That's a better promise. God promises us that through the Holy Spirit, if we are committed to put his Holy Spirit into practice. Because physical things do not last forever. They don't. God wants to make us spiritual. So, I have a question. So, I know, we, you know, the book of Galatians, Colossians, Paul's writings, they can be difficult to understand. And we're going to be going through those books. But you know what? When you misunderstand Paul's teaching, and Paul was a teacher, who told him to teach? God, Jesus Christ. Paul was a teacher before Jesus Christ called him. And who did Paul serve? He's actually serving Satan. He was killing people. He had the knowledge, he had the intellect. But he didn't have God's Holy Spirit until God struck him down at Damascus, blinded him, then opened his eyes and helped him to see. But and we see that people say that God's law is done away with. And we look at society. Look at society. Look at the world. Killing, stealing, lying, committing adultery. Look at all the pain and suffering. Do these better promises do away with God's law? The book of Galatians and other Paul's writings is misunderstood by many, and that misunderstanding has destroyed many relationships and continues to do so today because they say God's law is done away. Yet Paul says, therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just, and it is good. Romans 7:12. Are there any new and improved commandments in the New Testament? Is the commandment the same? Yes, God has a higher standard. But we look at it and say, okay, God's law is done away with. It's new and improved. Okay, so it's new and improved. Look, the world looks at it. It's new and improved. What's new and improved? Well, what about pagan practices? Pagan practices. What's the next pagan practice holiday that's about to come up? What? Valentine's Day. Oh. But you hear Valentine, you know, we just heard about Christmas. We hear about Halloween, and now it's Valentine's Day. Oh, this is a new and improved commandment. New Testament, what they teach. Valentine's Day. Is Valentine's Day a pagan holiday? Yes. But people say, well, Valentine's Day is about love. I mean, they have a symbol for love. They say Cupid is the god of love. They made a little symbol. Well, isn't that contrary to the Bible teaching? Is this a new and improved commandment in the New Testament? God's law is done away with? Scripture says that God is the God of love. He is love. His laws are love. Cupid is something that has been made up. He's displayed as a mischievous boy. Sometimes they say, well, he's turned into a cherub. Symbolizing, you dig deep into it, erotic love. Who shoots an arrow into someone to make them love you. I'm going to shoot an arrow into you to make you love me. It's the golden tip arrow. He has a lead tip arrow that will kill you as well. Why use Cupid as a symbol of love? I mean, he's displayed as a small, naked little boy with his behind exposed. Look at it. This is new and improved. Erotic type of love is a deep feeling of sexual desire and attraction. You know, a deep desire of sexual attraction should be between a man and a woman that is married. Man and woman. Not man and man, not woman and woman. A man and a woman, as God instructs us in the Bible. They have an attraction for one another. And then that, you know, when they're married, it's a sexual. Sex is involved in marriage. But he shoots this arrow. You don't have to be married. You don't have to be of the opposite sex. Sexual love is only, like I said, supposed to be between a man and woman in marriage, and they care for one another. With Cupid, it's a desire for physical attraction and sexual desire for someone else, tending to arouse sexual love or desire to whoever you want to excite yourself with. Now, some people say, well, I don't do it for that. Well, look at society. How many people save themselves before they get married? I mean, this is what, you know, there's a lot of history and information regarding Valentine's Day. The Apostle Paul said to put what is earthly to death. Put it to death. Let me read to you Colossians 3:5. He says, therefore, put to death your members. Put to death your members. Put to death the fleshly desires of fulfilling the flesh. We say, no, no, no. God, help us to hate evil. Through God's Holy Spirit, we can go before him and say, help us to hate evil. Help us not to try to, you know, shave off the edges and participate in it a little bit. No, he says, therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth. Talking about the earthly desires. And what does he say? Fornication. Put away fornication. Isn't Valentine's Day about fornication? New and improved. Don't have to keep God's law. Look at all the pain and suffering that comes with that. He also says uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. The Greek word for fornication, does anyone ever know what it is? In our vocabulary today? Porneia. Which is a root word of pornography. Put it away. Do we want to practice any part of Valentine's Day? Debauchery is an extreme indulgence of fleshly pleasures, especially sexual pleasures, behavior involving sex, drugs, and alcohol. Paul calls these things immoral. Sex outside of marriage. We're told in Scripture. Paul talks about it. Jesus Christ talks about it in Revelation. Those who are immoral, sexual immoral, will not be in the kingdom. Oh, but let's rip that page out, because that would not be new and improved. It's there. The laws are there. Let me read to you another scripture. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, But now, Paul says, I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral. That's how serious it is. Don't even keep company with a brother who's doing this. Who is sexually immoral or covetousness or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Paul is inspired by God to say this is serious. Through God's Holy Spirit, we can see these things and put them into practice. So I ask, do pagan, erotic, selfish desires, do they express the love of God? No, they are an abomination to him. And the other question for you and I is this an abomination to us too? A mark is put on those who, by an angel going throughout society before things start happening, puts a mark on those who sigh and cry for the abominations, what's going on in society. They play no part in it. They sigh and cry, what's going on in society. That's a better promise. With God's Holy Spirit, he can help us to see it, help us to understand it, help us to go before our God and not want to be a part of society. The new covenant is better because it helps us to know and obey God. That's a better promise. A more excellent ministry with better promises. We've talked about these two topics last week and this week. There are no new and improved ways not to obey God's commandments. In the new covenant, God expects us to keep his commandments. And he actually raises the bar to a higher standard with the Holy Spirit. Not just about doing evil to someone, but in our minds, raising that standard to get those evil thoughts out of our head. Hebrews 8:6, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 2 and wrap this up. Colossians chapter 2. We'll see what is old, what is new. Now we continue in this. I'm hoping to put a list together. So far I've been having to do it on my own. Of all the things that do not have to be kept in the old covenant that point to Jesus Christ as the new mediator. And also shows that process as we go through this, it's easy to show that the law is not done away with. But what were all the things? So I'm making a list, and hopefully to be able to print that out, and with the scriptures, and you'll be able to go through that yourself. But here in, actually, 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, did I say Colossians? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What is old and what is new under the new covenant? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let's start in verse 17. Let me see. I'm actually in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you and I in Christ? Are we being led by him? Are we putting his ways into practice? That through his law that we see we fall short, that we need forgiveness of sin, that we need help to overcome those sins, to do better? Well, then Christ is in you. Well, then he's a new creation under the new covenant. Old things have passed away. Our old self, what we've been doing in the past, we're eliminating. We don't practice anymore. Yeah, we do things sometimes, at times, maybe quite often. But it's not, we hate it. We pray to God, help us to hate it. Help us, deliver us from the evil one. Well, those things have passed away. We don't practice them anymore. We're battling those things. Then behold, all things have become new. We are a new creation. Verse 18. We see that the law is not done away with, but it's our sins that are taken away upon repentance through God's Holy Spirit. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of being reconciled, to have a relationship with the Father, to continue helping us to overcome. As Jesus Christ sits at his right side, he's in that position. He's not always sitting there. He's doing a work. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. So he forgives. If we go and ask for forgiveness. If we sin and don't go and ask for forgiveness, well, that sin is imputed to us and we deserve the death penalty. And we won't grow. We can't grow through the Holy Spirit. We start losing understanding. We start lying. Then God turns us over to the base mind, because we're practicing unrighteousness. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. But that's what we've been given. That's what we have. It's a better promise. And then verse 20. And then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, Paul, the apostles, we implore you, the ministry on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What is new? And what is old? What should be new for us? Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He paid the death penalty for us. And then he expects something for us to be doing, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, that we may be made right through relationship with Jesus Christ, asking him to help us body to overcome. That's a better ministry. That's a better promise. So again, what are the better promises that we went over today? The three things that we discussed today. You know, a lot can be added to those things. But spiritual blessings are added in the new covenant that comes through the Holy Spirit to have a relationship with God through repentance. That was number one. Which leads to point number two, a better understanding of God's word and putting it into practice through the Holy Spirit, which gives us point number three, a better life, to be able to love God, know that he is the source of love, to help us to love him because he first loved us, and to be able to love one another. That leads to eternal life through Jesus the Christ, who's able to redeem us of our sins if his law is established in our minds through the Holy Spirit, and we're internalizing it through our heart, it's who we are, then we are part of these better promises and eventually revealed to other people. Jesus Christ is the one that's able to do that for us. He sacrificed himself for all people. God the Father wanted him to do it for all people. But not everyone has God's Holy Spirit now. So brethren, as we've gone through this message, we have a number of takeaways that we need to be putting into practice. Let's make sure that you and I are applying the better promises in our lives through a more excellent ministry. We have Jesus Christ, who is the mediator of a better covenant and better promises.